The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with over 2 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
All right, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. The number to call into the program, 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. I am your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. We're coming to you live from the National Religious Broadcast Convention. And so this is the last night. People are starting to pack up and leave. But I'm so glad that Salem was able to be a part of this ministry, if you will. These are people, obviously, that are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Salem obviously does two types of programming, political programming, which you'll find the Officer Tatum on, obviously, but also they do Christian-based programming, and I love it because, honestly, I got my start writing a blog called HolySlant.com back in the day where I did political analysis with a biblical worldview. It is my view that Christians should be in the political fight. That isn't to say that we should be beholden to any candidate. We shouldn't be beholden to any particular party. However, there are certain parties that more closely align, the Republican Party for one, their values more closely align with biblical values. So in any candidate whose ideas, whose policies more closely align with biblical values, I believe that Christians should vote for them. I believe that abortion is wrong. I believe in the rule of law. I believe in free speech. How else are we to be able to share the gospel and send people out around the world? I believe in being able to keep your money when you work. So I'm a big advocate of people being wise stewards of their money and not giving it, giving too much of your money to the government in order to overspend. We'll get into the debt ceiling debacle in hour two with Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation. Also, R.C. Williams of SherlockExposes.com will be joining me, and we'll be talking about central bank digital currencies and the importance of cash. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be exciting. And then if anybody comes up, we may interview them as well. I've got Sean McConnell in my ear. I'm not sure who's on the mic. Who do we have on the mic, Mr. McConnell? All right. I can't hear Sean. So anyway, Sean McConnell, I know, is in my ear. We've got Forgotten Man somewhere out there in the ether. We have Nick. All right. Suzette is on the phones. Oh, is this Zach? So we've got Zach. So I appreciate you. Appreciate you guys holding it down there. All right. So we got a lot to get to. Obviously, I think the first thing that's obvious, the big news of the day is obviously Governor DeSantis launching yesterday. I'll say this, and I was just on the American Adversaries talking about this. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. And so in that sense, I think the initial launch was, we have to be honest about it. It was not good. Now, I love what Governor DeSantis was trying to do, however. I will say that. But that initial look, I knew right from the get-go. I mean, I think politically as well. And I'm like, man, this is an opportunity for Trump, the Trump campaign, to pounce all over Ron DeSantis. And in fact, they did, and they continue to do so. But having said that, I really appreciate what Governor Ron DeSantis was trying to do. And that is speak directly to the people. That is go beyond the mainstream media and let the legacy media know, you know what, that they're no longer in charge. Now, I will say this. Once he got once things were under control 20, 25 minutes in, I was able to listen in to his conversation with Elon Musk, and he brought up some very good points, some very good ideas, obviously some things that are Trump-type points, but also things of his own. He didn't talk much about Ukraine. I didn't hear him talk much about the economy. I did hear him touch on that today. But again, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. But I do appreciate what he's trying to do. He wants to reach out to a younger audience. I think the better strategy would have been to go old school, technically go legacy media. You go with a radio show, you go with a Fox News, and then you say, you jump from that platform and say, now I'm going to be answering questions on Twitter Spaces. What I did like about Twitter Spaces was the fact that people, whether they were DeSantis supporters or not, they could chime in and ask them, what are you going to do about the border? What are you going to do about CBDC, central bank digital currencies? And he was willing to answer those questions. Now, obviously, you could tell the questions were coming from a lot of people that like DeSantis, but nonetheless, he was hitting issues that I wanted to hear him talk about. Now, I do want to play around with the idea and the concept of where this race is shaping up, in my opinion. And guys, I got to tell you, I don't listen to the polls right now. We're so far out from the election of 2024. I think the polls are created to shape the news, to shape narratives at this point. I love Donald Trump, but I would say I know everybody's saying, hey, he's got a 40-point lead. Listen, I want Donald Trump to be challenged. I know I'm different than some of the Salem hosts, but I definitely want him to be challenged, not because I want him to lose, but because I believe, as the Bible teaches us, that iron sharpens iron. And so I do believe that, listen, right now, at least DeSantis is the strongest contender that he has. If those two go at it, listen, promises made, promises kept. That's the way that I see it. So I believe that DeSantis would sharpen Trump. There's been some talk, and many people will say, hey, listen, Carl, as far as DeSantis is concerned, he's going to lose his career if he loses this race. Guys, I just view this so differently. I don't care. I don't mean to be mean. I really think it's the wrong perspective for conservatives to have. I think it's the wrong perspective for Christians to have. And again, I like Trump and I like DeSantis, but I don't want career politicians. That's what the left does. So when I hear conservatives and Christians complaining that, oh my God, he is going to destroy his career, I'm like, so what? If DeSantis feels led and called to get into this race, if he believes that God has called him, if he believes that he's the man to do it, then he has, in my opinion, a duty and an obligation before God to do that, whether he wins or loses. In the scheme of things, we're all going to be held accountable by God, and if he sincerely believes he's been being called by God to do it, then he needs to run. Now, obviously, a lot of people believe that Trump is being called by God, and Trump has been a fantastic president in the past, so there is going to be an uphill battle. But I do think there's some issues, COVID issues, that concern me, that I do think, whether it's Larry Elder, whether it's Vivek Ramaswamy, who, by the way, keep your eyes on that guy. Listen, iron sharpens iron. So I think things are going to get nasty, and I think it's going to make all of the candidates better. I do want to say this, too. I know Tim Scott has jumped into the race. Nikki Haley is in the race. I hope this isn't true. But I read on Revolver.news earlier that it's possible. Now, again, it's early on that President Trump is looking at someone like a Tim Scott to be his second choice. Guys, I'm just going to be straight up with you. That is not something that I want. That isn't something that excites me. Whether it's Tim Scott or Nikki Haley, I think they are great people. I think they serve their country. I think Senator Scott is a good senator for South Carolina. But frankly, I don't want anyone that has talked about police reform on a national level to be a candidate, to be the vice president. If Trump does win and then 8 years goes to the VP, I'm not sure that I want that to be Tim Scott. Would I take a Tim Scott over Democrat? Obviously, I would. I feel the same about Nikki Haley. I'm more convinced. I think that Nikki Haley is meant to be a foil to Ron DeSantis. I do think that, in my opinion, she's probably the only one in the race that is truly running for VP. There's some things that I thought of. And how much time do I have here? How much? 1 minute. Okay. So there's some things that I thought of that I just want to make clear. Nikki Haley, in my opinion, is interviewing to be Trump's VP. I really believe that she is the only one in the race that's interviewing to be Trump's VP. Again, I told you that rumors have began to swirl that perhaps Tim Scott would be Donald Trump's VP. Certainly not what I want. Here's what I think of DeSantis, too. I think the tougher the race gets and the more they battle each other, here's what I think. And I want to run this by you. By the way, the number to call in if you want to chime in, 844-900-7243. Again, that number, 844-900-7243. I think the tougher the fight gets between Governor Ron DeSantis and President Trump, I think it's more likely that they would actually team up. I'll explain how I got there next. And also, I do want to share with you great things that that Governor DeSantis has done for the state of Florida that should be copied every red state.
Prison culture is no different than any other culture. The brokenness that lands people in prison, if left unaddressed, often perpetuates a cycle of destructive thinking and behaviors that will negatively impact individuals for generations, unless something intervenes to change that cycle. The good news is that something is the Prison Fellowship Academy program. Since 1997, Prison Fellowship have been transforming prison culture one changed life at a time. The Prison Fellowship Academy offers prisoners hope for a new life. When they are released, they will be ready to return to society as good citizens and be better spouses, parents, and workers. God is at work throughout the entire prison system, thanks to Prison Fellowship Academy. I'll be telling you inspiring stories about the Academy in the days ahead. But to learn more right now, please go to TheOfficerTatum.com and click on the Prison Fellowship banner. That's TheOfficerTatum.com, TheOfficerTatum.com, and click on the Prison Fellowship banner. Thank you, guys.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. You guys can find me online. TheCarlJacksonShow.com is the podcast. Anywhere you go to get your podcast, The Carl Jackson Show is where you can find me. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel and our Rumble channel, The Carl Jackson Show. Everywhere that I am on social media, at The Carl Jackson Show. We're on Instagram, Gitter, Twitter, Facebook, wherever I am, at The Carl Jackson Show. Guys, I want to talk to you about Angel Tree. I want to thank everyone who has already joined the Officer Tatum's campaign to help send children of prisoners, kids with a mom or dad in prison, for a life-changing week at Angel Tree Camp. They went to theofficertatum.com and made a generous gift of $200, which sends one child to camp for an entire week. But right now, I want to speak to you. Maybe you've heard Officer Tatum's appeals, but you can't spare $200 right now. Well, that's okay. And today is the day. I want to invite you to join us with a gift in any amount you can give, whether it's $5, $22, $50, whatever you can give right now will be combined with other listeners' gifts. And each time we hit $200, another child's life will be changed. As Don from Angel Tree tells us, every single dollar has the power to literally transform a child.
Personalize that. The little bit that you give, if we all give something, we are better together. If every single one right now, even if you are impacted in some stretch, the more that you give, the more you receive. I always say you can't outgive God. So you give without knowing where it's going to go. Just pay it forward and see the results, see the blessings that God will bring back into your life.
Let's transform the lives of as many boys and girls as we can by sending them to Angel Tree Camp this summer. Your gift of any amount helps send a deserving boy or girl away from hot inner cities and gangs and off to camp for an entire week. All you have to do is go to theofficertatum.com, click on the Angel Tree Camp banner at the top of the page, or you can phone your donation to 888-206-2763. That's 888-206-2763. It's a safe place for children of prisoners to experience the great outdoors, make new friends, and hear the gospel. Once more, just go to theofficertatum.com, click on the Angel Tree Camp banner to help change a child's life for eternity. Okay, guys, so let me get back to the topic at hand. I'm just playing around. It's just fun to speculate, isn't it? Let's just be real. None of us know what's going to happen in 2024. We don't know who the nominee is going to be. However, even though I don't believe that the polls, let's face it, Trump has a base that is completely loyal to him. And so although I don't necessarily believe the 40 points ahead and all that kind of good stuff, I always question, well, how many people are actually paying attention to politics? What questions are they asking inside of the poll? And guys, I don't think after 2020 and 2022, I don't think Republicans and conservatives should believe polls anyway. I think we need to get our butts out, and I think we need to campaign. I think we need to ballot harvest wherever it is legal, and I think we need to make sure that we win and don't rely on the polls. Get your butt out and vote and bring other people out to vote. But I want to just have a little fun in speculating where this race could go. As I said before the break, I really think it is a good thing for Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump to battle it out. I think that they should challenge each other, because I think ultimately it's we the people that win. We get a better and stronger Donald Trump, or you get a better and refined DeSantis. DeSantis, obviously, if you look at the rollout last night, even though the rollout, the glitch was an issue, his substance was really good. I saw Tim Pool basically comment right away he needs some media training. I absolutely agree with that. He does seem a bit robotic, and I don't think he's fake whatsoever. I got to tell you guys, I was at an event at the Florida Family Policy Council dinner that they threw this past Saturday, and I got to see Ron DeSantis and listen to him. There's no doubt in my mind that he's a man of conviction, but charisma matters. Charisma matters. People want to be able to see that. And so he's got to work on that. Trump has that factor where he's charismatic. But DeSantis has good ideas. And I've said this before when I sat in for the Officer Tatum. Anyone that lives in the state of Florida understands that when it comes to campaigning, Governor Ron DeSantis, he's just not good at it. He's simply not good at it. But he has done some wonderful things for the state of Florida, and he has laid down a roadmap of what other people need to do. Now, I just want to reiterate some of the points that I made. I think Nikki Haley is in this thing to be Trump's VP. However, I will say this. If at any point in time Nikki Haley started to rise in the polls, then obviously, obviously she would go for the gusto. And again, rumors are swirling, at least from what I've read, that perhaps Trump is considering more of an establishment candidate. Guys, we've gone there before. We've done that. Been there, done that. We had Mike Pence. I like Mike Pence. Mike Pence is a great guy. I think Mike Pence is a fabulous Christian. But right now, I think we are in for a bloodbath. That's why I don't even buy into the notion that other conservatives will say, hey, listen, we'll get Trump for 4 years and DeSantis for 8 years. How the heck do you know that? We couldn't even win 2020 and 2022. Let's focus on 2024. Let's get that one first. All right, let's start there. Let's start with some training wheels, people. I just don't buy into that. And beyond that, it is going to be a battle. It is going to be a battle. Where is this? You guys heard about this guy. Now, listen. All right. You guys heard about what happened with Richard Barnett. And I promise I'll circle back to my opinions on the candidates. But a hat tip to just the news I thank you, Forgotten Man, a participant in the January 6, 2020 One Capitol riot, who was photographed placing his feet on then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's desk inside her Capitol office, has received 4.5 years in prison for kicking your feet up on a desk. Now, I understand that is public property, so to speak. I understand that it was the Capitol, but we know what the left has done with these J6 protesters. I understand that people think Trump is the most persecuted man. No, I believe these people are. But Trump has been the most persecuted, I believe, president in history. But these people are actually serving time in jail. Now, the left wants Trump in jail, but I go back to Richard Barnett. This guy is Arkansas. This is I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this guy is in his 60s or close to 70. Well, he just received 54 months in prison and 36 months of supervised release, plus a $2,000 fine for his actions during the incident. The Department of Justice confirmed this as of yesterday. Barnett was convicted on, listen to this, January of this year on felony counts, including obstruction of an official proceeding, even though he wasn't near the proceeding, interfering with a police officer during a civil disorder, even though we've seen video from Tucker Carlson's former show that some of these protesters were ushered into certain places, entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds with a dangerous or deadly weapon. By the way, from what I understand, if I recall correctly, the weapon was some type of cane or some nonsense like that, so it wasn't a deadly weapon. Also, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds with a dangerous weapon. Guys are just making stuff up, and they're throwing people that love America and patriots in jail. If you don't think this can happen to you, you're wrong. This is why I don't want moderates. This is why I don't want establishment people on the ticket. I want fighters on the ticket. We are fighting evil. We are fighting evil, and we cannot play around. This is Carl Jackson in for the Officer Tatum. We'll be back.
Are you tired of not getting a good night's sleep? Well, my friends, Mike Lindell has created the perfect solution. He didn't just stop at the pillow. He also created the Giza Dream bed sheets, made from the world's best cotton called Giza. These sheets are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. And now for a limited time, you can get 50% off the Giza Dream sheets with prices starting as low as $29.98. These sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors and have a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Take advantage of this amazing offer. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Podcast Square and use promo code Brandon at checkout. You can also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper and MyPillow towel sets. Don't wait any longer to get the best sleep of your life. Call 800-976-8379 or go to MyPillow.com now and use promo code Brandon. Remember, this sale won't last forever, so don't miss out.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I am your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. Guys, I want to talk to you about the Salem News Channel. If you like listening to the Officer Tatum Show, you will love watching it as well. You can watch it on SalemNewsChannel.com or the app with the same name loaded on the Apple or Android store. Or you can watch us on Roku. Just type Salem News Channel into the search bar. Come check us out. We are the antidote to the mainstream media. All the best in conservative media are on the Salem News Channel with Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dinesh D'Souza, Will Cow, Larry O'Connor, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and your main man, Brandon Tatum. Bookmark us now. Just go to SalemNewsChannel.com and watch today's show or get caught up on past shows on video. Okay, Sean McConnell was making a great point during the break. This gentleman that was just sent to prison for what was it? I'm sorry, I crumbled papers up, so forgive me because I'm going to be using my firm leaf finger. Richard Barnett, for putting his feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk, he gets 54 months. It's just absolutely insane. The guy that beat Paul Pelosi upside the head will probably get less time than this guy. They can't stand Americans. They can't stand people that love America. It goes beyond being Trump supporters. They can't stand patriots. These people are literally trying to fundamentally transform America. And that's why I don't want weaklings on the ticket. Guys, if we're going to have a fight, we're going to have a fight. And you have to be braced for a fight. That's simply where we are. That's where we are in the culture right now. I'll get into the culture wars a little bit in the third hour of the program, Lord willing, if I can stop speaking long enough to make sure I cover all of the topics. But whether it's Tarjay, whether it's the Los Angeles Dodgers, Sean, you realize I became a fan of the I was a former fan after the Dodgers did their little announcement of Pride Night or whatever, the people that hate Catholics, the drag queens, the trans and all that. And then they announced that they had done away with that, and they were sorry about what they did to the Christians and Catholics, and then they went right back to it. So now I'm a former Dodgers fan again, Sean, but you're not going to convince me to cry on camera. I don't care how much you rub it in. It's not going to happen. But I'm very frustrated with that. We'll talk about that a little bit in the third hour. I do want to play this audio clip for you before we get into get back to my takes on the presidential race and how they are shaping up. If you could go to audio clip number two, Mr. McConnell, where Ron DeSantis says, as president, I will ensure there's never a central bank digital currency. That's one of the good things he talked about. We'll be talking about that in the second hour of the program. But here's Governor Ron DeSantis talking about CBDCs, which is a very big threat to America.
We were the first state just last month. We actually got the Florida legislature to pass a law that says Florida does not recognize central bank digital currency, because some states were actually adding that to their uniform commercial code. The federal government's studying this. We did the opposite and say we didn't. Now, the reason why we did that is because what the Federal Reserve has said is, well, we're going to consult with Congress. We'll consult with the executive branch. We don't have a CBDC right now. And ideally, we would get authorization for Congress. Well, wait a minute. It's not ideally. You must get authorization from Congress. I don't think Congress would authorize it. So if they unilaterally try to do this, we're trying to provide protection for people here in Florida.
And we'll get more into that in the second hour, but that is so extremely important. We'll talk about the economy. We'll talk about CBDCs, the central bank digital currencies, and everything. The left is an existential threat. The Democrat Party, as they exist today, they are an existential threat to America. And we've got to talk about these things, and we've got to have candidates that are willing to talk about these things and fight on these issues. Ron DeSantis is one of them. I believe Trump is going to fight for this type of stuff. But this is why I don't want weaklings on the tickets and the ticket. And if that means we got to squab for 4 years, well, we got to squab for 4 years. That's the way that it should be. I'm sorry, guys. We are living in a different America. We cannot take this fight lightly anymore. We can't hope that all is well. We can't bring in a Mike Pence or Tim Scott or Nikki Haley and just think everything is going to be hunky-dory and people are going to love them. I don't care if it's Tim Scott. I don't care if it's Nikki Haley. The left is going to eviscerate anyone that wins the nomination. And then if they win, if they win, we got to make sure that they do the things that are necessary in order to save America. I tell you what, Vivek Ramaswamy has been watch out for this cat. This cat has been saying things that I just think are refreshing. He's talking about right out the gate, cutting policies, amputating bureaucracies. This is the stuff that has to happen. How much time, Sean? We'll be back. All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. The number to call in, 844-900-7243. Guys, I want to talk to you about Pure Talk. Remember the last time you got a quote, unquote, free phone? You started out feeling great, then came the hefty activation fees, 4-line requirements, and of course the binding contract. Well, don't fall for it again. Only Pure Talk gives you a free 5G Samsung Galaxy phone without the feeling you've been duped. Just sign up for Pure Talk's unlimited talk, unlimited text, and unlimited data plan with mobile hotspot for just $55 a month and get a 5G Samsung Galaxy for free. That's right, unlimited everything at a fraction of the price of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. And here's another thing, you'll be on America's most dependable 5G network. How does Officer Tatum know? He knows because he's a customer. Make the switch to Pure Talk, the wireless company that he he's proud to stand behind because they're proud to stand behind him. Just dial #250 and say Brandon Tatum. You'll get a free Samsung Galaxy when you sign up for unlimited talk, text, and unlimited data. Again, dial #250, say Brandon Tatum, and switch to Pure Talk today. Pure Talk Wireless for Americans by Americans. All right, so we've been talking about Governor DeSantis's rollout. We've been talking about the battles that we're going to be having. This broke, actually, probably a couple hours ago, but North Face does drag come out in Nature, rise of corporate queering. So a lot of these companies are woke. And here's the good thing about this. These companies are being exposed. We know who they are. You've heard the saying, go woke, go broke. We know who they are. We know where not to shop now. And I think this is a good thing. Listen, I want entrepreneurs to thrive. Frankly, I want companies to thrive. But I want companies to stay out of the political arena. If individuals donate to campaign, donate to causes, none of my business. But when these major corporations align with the Democrat Party, just like you see the DOJ doing the same exact thing, we've got to stand up. We've got to fight back. And one easy way to fight back is to make sure that we don't give people our money. And so we'll be talking about that more in the third hour. But Vivek Ramaswamy, Sean McConnell has checked me on that. So Vivek Ramaswamy is how you pronounce his name. But this guy, man, I tell you what, I don't expect Vivek to win the nomination. But I want him to be in, whether it's Trump's cabinet or someone, or, you know, if it's someone else, I want him to be in the cabinet and perhaps, a future president. I mean, he needs some experience, I think, in the political realm. But some of the things that this guy is saying, he's speaking just love language to my ears. When he's talking about cutting out the EPA, the Department of Education, these are things that I think Republicans need to be talking about. I don't understand this notion that we think that we can reform some of these institutions. No. And I think more conservatives and more voters need to pay attention to this stuff, because I believe in a constitution that's of, for, and by the people. We, the people. And we should be fighting for that. So anytime we can cut back on one of these agencies, I think we should absolutely do so. Another thing that I want to bring to your attention in just a second here, I want to bring you the wins that Governor DeSantis has had in the state of Florida. Obviously, big announcement yesterday, whatever you may feel about him, whatever you may feel about the announcement, that's secondary, in my opinion, to what conservatives need to be able to do in states. We've got to pay attention to local elections. Local elections matter. State elections matter. We have 22 trifectas when it comes to red states. All right, 22 trifectas, meaning we own or we're in the governor's mansion, we run the state legislature, or the state house and the state senate, and yet we have a lot of weaklings that are in office, and this has to stop. Well, you have Governor Ron DeSantis, who has laid out a blueprint, in my opinion, and had to the Federalist. Thank you, the Federalist. They've laid out some of the things that he's gotten done. I'm telling you, guys, when I went to this dinner the other night to listen to this guy speak, I'm sitting there thinking, I knew that he had done a lot, and I'm just listening to the litany of accomplishments, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is unreal. When it comes to legislation, when it comes to getting stuff done, this guy is a freak of nature. Again, charisma. He doesn't have the charisma as Trump does. And it's what we saw here in Florida. The guy is a horrible campaigner, but he gets stuff done. But I want to talk about the state issues, because Republicans need to be copying him. If your governor isn't copying Ron DeSantis, you've got a problem. Sarah Huckabee Sanders has started out strong in Arkansas. I'm glad to see it. You've got Kristi Noem. You've got some others. I forget the gentleman's name in Montana. Bill Lee of Tennessee has been a little weak-kneed lately on the Second Amendment, but now he's sending troops to the border. That's all good and swell, but every red state should be ran like Florida. Every red state should not be ashamed of our policies. Our policies are better. Our policies work. And we'll talk more about that in the third hour of the show. But here's some of the things that he's been able to accomplish. And I'll just give you some blanket information, if you will. Protecting children from leftist indoctrination and perversion. Oh, you know what? I got to rewind here. Forgive me. Because one of the things that I forgot to mention, I told you, I think the more that President Trump and Ron DeSantis battle, the more likely they are to team up with each other, simply because I believe they'll splinter the boat if it gets too nasty. But I will offer this bit of caution. If it gets too silly and too cray-cray, I do think that they'll have to worry about this, that people will get so fed up if it's just, if it's not policy issues, if it's just nasty for the sake of being nasty. And then an establishment candidate could rise, a Tim Scott or Nikki Haley. Everyone's running for VP until they're not running for VP. So I hope those campaigns will keep that in mind. Now, going back to Governor Ron DeSantis here, protecting children from leftist indoctrination and perversion. You would think that this wouldn't be a big deal. You would think that this would be common sense, but it's not. But it's one of the things that he's done here with our legislators in Florida. So DeSantis signed a series of bills aimed at protecting children from the leftist indoctrination and perverts. Under HB 1069, students and teachers would no longer be required to, quote, declare, unquote, their pronouns at school, or be forced to address someone with pronouns not based on one's sex. I'll talk to you about why this is important and what else DeSantis has done for the state of Florida when we get back. Carl Jackson in for the Officer Taker. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. The number to call in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. You can find me online, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, True Social, Getter, at The Carl Jackson Show. Guys, I want to talk to you about the real Anthony Fauci movie. Have you ever questioned the COVID-19 narrative? Is there more to the story? Well, the movie, The Real Anthony Fauci, will leave you stunned. Share your reasons. The real movie will leave you stunned. Listen, this guy is a complete and utter fascist is what he was. This is an eye-opening movie that is loved by a lot of people that have already seen it and are recommending it. The Real Anthony Fauci movie proves he purposely suppressed information on other drugs and silenced anyone or anything that created vaccine hesitancy. It was a huge and dangerous medical experiment they forced on the entire world. Are you ready to explore the truth? Go to TheRealAnthonyFauciMovie.com to watch the movie for free while it's still available. Officer Tatum watched it, and I urge you to see it as well. I need to see it myself. That's TheRealAnthonyFauciMovie.com. Portions of the Officer Tatum Show are brought to you in part by TheRealAnthonyFauciMovie.com. I'm so glad Salem has done that, because that guy is a complete and utter fascist. Every single thing that the NIH, that the CDC recommended was completely wrong. Completely wrong. I mean, from mask to the ventilators causing secondary bacterial infections in lungs and causing people to die. Everything they said was wrong. This is why I want doctors to practice medicine, doctors that actually work on people and not these bureaucrats in these offices. All right, now, getting back to the blueprint for conservatives in some of these blue states, and I'll have to carry some of this over into the second and third hour perhaps, but I just want you to know some of the accomplishments on the state level that DeSantis has done. And again, this has nothing to do with his run for the presidency. If you live in a state where you're and you've got a trifecta of Republicans, you have a governor in the governor's mansion, a Republican governor in the governor's mansion, you have a state house that is red, you have state legislature that is red, they need to get on top of this stuff. This concept that we have to ban perverts and not allow or teachers don't have to be required to call kids by their chosen pronoun. Like, what kind of nonsense is that? First off, it upsets me that parents would even allow this to happen. It makes no sense to me. But on another level, you understand teachers are grooming your children. Just a few years ago, they would be called perverts. And today they're looked at as heroes. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? That's absolutely insane to me. Every red state should be following that. Banning taxpayer-funded DEI in higher education. We'll talk about this in the next hour. This is Carl Jackson filling in for the Officer Tatum. Actually, we'll be joined by Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation to talk about the debt ceiling debacle. And then after that, R.C. Williams will join us as well. We'll be back.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. The number to call in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. We're broadcasting live from the National Religious Broadcasting Convention, something that the Salem Media Group puts on. I'm glad that we are here. With me, or joining me now, I'm going to be speaking with Zach Smith. Zach is with the Heritage Foundation. He's a legal fellow and manager of the Supreme Court and Appellate Advocacy Program in the Heritage's Me Center. A lot of that to say he's a constitutional lawyer at the Heritage Foundation. Zach, are you there? Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
I am. Thanks so much for having me on, Carl.
Absolutely. All right. So you saw that, you heard that applause, Zach. I never get that type of applause, but you come on and they absolutely love you. All right. So welcome to the program. You were on my podcast the other day, and then we'll dive right into the nitty gritty here. We were talking about the debt ceiling or the debt limit and the debt ceiling. Republicans want to raise the debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion, but they want some spending cuts. Although I hear some news that McCarthy may be waffling a little bit. I hope that isn't the case. But anyway, you wrote a fantastic column that I want everybody to go check out. And honestly, go check out all of Zach's writings. He's a really smart guy, really good when it comes to constitutional law. I steal some of his points, and I just pretend like it's me saying it, Zach. But his latest is Biden can't ignore the Constitution and give himself unilateral power to raise the debt ceiling. Guys, when I tell you, When it comes to money, I'm concerned about the central bank digital currency. I'm concerned about our spending levels. I'm concerned about inflation. But I'm also concerned about a president of the United States that believes he has the power or just ignores the Constitution and is willing to unilaterally raise the debt ceiling. So, Zach Smith, would you just please, in plain English as best as possible, I know that's difficult for you lawyers, but to just kind of brief us on what the debt limit is and the debt ceiling, what it is in general.
Sure. Happy to do it. And again, thank you for having me on this evening, Carl. Look, I think we have to go back to basics. If you go look at the Constitution explicitly gives the power of the purse to Congress. It says Congress essentially is in charge of making our spending decisions, the United States, deciding how much to spend our money on, where to spend our money, all of those very important decisions. And so when Congress is deciding how to spend money for the federal government, for the United States, it typically, traditionally, and historically has engaged in a three-step process. It authorizes certain expenditures, it then appropriates money for those expenditures, and then essentially it figures out how it's going to pay for that money that's been authorized and appropriated. And so historically, in the late 1700s, all throughout the 1800s and into the early 1900s, into the early 20th century, essentially Congress would always accompany that authorization and appropriation process with a third step. They'd authorize specific debt issuance, specific bonds or bills are some type of debt instrument to be issued to cover those expenditures that they had previously authorized. Now, in World War I, in the 1917 or so, obviously, the United States expenditures increased greatly. The U.S. was having to issue much more debt than it traditionally had. And so Congress changed the way it spent money, basically. It still authorized and appropriated money, but instead of issuing specific bond issuances for each authorized and appropriated expenditure, it essentially set an aggregate borrowing limit that the Treasury could borrow up to. This is the kind of the genesis of the debt ceiling. Now, it tweaked that process again in the late 1930s, and it really has remained essentially the same since that time. But all the debt ceiling is essentially it's a limit set by Congress that says the Treasury can borrow up to X dollar amount and no more. And so currently, unfortunately, Carl, we've already hit that debt limit. And Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and the Biden administration, they're engaging in what are known as extraordinary measures, essentially accounting tricks, to keep the money flowing, while Joe Biden and Kevin McCarthy and others try to reach some type of resolution for this impasse.
And we've had in Biden, in Joseph Biden, literally President Biden, he hasn't even negotiated or bothered to negotiate with the Republican Congress in nearing up to 100 days here now, Zach. Something you wrote, and you just gave some stats in your column that were absolutely mind-blowing. When people hear $31.46 trillion, it's such a large number, it's hard to fathom. But when you say that you said to put that into perspective, the federal government has burdened every single citizen or each citizen with about $94,000 of debt. So the federal government has essentially said, here's your debt. You need to pay this off. Essentially, we've maxed out our credit. We've maxed out our credit card. And yet they want to keep extending this limit or growing the debt, the debt ceiling.
Well, that's exactly right, Carl. And it's actually worse than that in some ways, because you mentioned the $94,000 per citizen number. But, you know, not all citizens pay taxes. Now, I think taxes burden all citizens, either directly or indirectly. But only a small portion of Americans actually directly pay taxes. And so if you divide that $31.46 trillion worth of debt across all taxpaying, directly taxpaying American citizens, it would actually be about $247,000 per direct taxpaying citizen, which is just absolutely astronomical. You know, for many, many years, the government has spent more than it's brought in. It's a issue I think that should be, you know, pretty readily acknowledged by most people in our country. And so, you know, it's kind of shocking to see that so many on the left are so unwilling to pair a, you know, essentially raising our credit limit once again, pairing that with future spending cuts, which is just common sense to anyone who's looked at these actually astronomical numbers.
And we'll get into this more just shortly here, Zach. I'm speaking with Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation. Check out his column at the Daily Signal. Biden can't ignore Constitution and give himself unilateral power to raise debt ceiling. Okay, so I'm going to go to that term, unilateral power. This is something that scares the crud out of me, Zach, to be completely honest, because a lot of people, we get involved in this Democrat versus Republican game, and I don't think people understand how dire this is, what Joe Biden is trying to do. Literally, this guy is wanting to unilaterally, just take the power away from Congress altogether and raise the debt ceiling himself. Just speak to that issue alone, if you would.
Yeah, so if you listen to many people on the far left, some like John Fetterman, there are other senators as well, they're essentially pushing the Biden administration to unilaterally raise the debt limit, essentially ignore it, instruct the Treasury to continue issuing debt above the limit that Congress has authorized. And the primary, you know, legal argument, and I, you know, use that term in scare quotes, basically, that they use is based on Section 4 of the 14th Amendment. And that provision, you know, it's important to understand the historical context. It basically says the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for services and suppressing insurrection or rebellion, shall not be questioned. And so this provision, it was enacted after the Civil War, and it was basically designed to make sure that when the Southern states were readmitted to the Union, that the new members of Congress from those Southern states wouldn't repudiate the North's Civil War debts and pay off the South's instead. That was a very real fear. And so they said, look, we're going to put this provision in the Constitution, basically saying that the debt of the United States shall not be questioned. Well, some on the left have used this, the language, they've twisted it, and they're arguing that if the government defaults on its debt. This would be questioning the debt of the United States. That's constitutionally prohibited. And so in a roundabout way, they're saying the debt limit itself is unconstitutional. But that's just – it's a silly legal argument, Carl. But unfortunately, it's one that many on the left are wedded to and are pushing very, very aggressively right now.
I mean, and this is so insane that they would use the 14th Amendment to attempt to allow Biden to unilaterally raise this debt ceiling. I want to how much more time do we have before the break here, Sean? Okay, so Zach, we only have 30 seconds before the break. Zach has agreed to stay with me for a couple of segments here. I want to dive into this. I want to dive into this a little more because I want people to understand just how silly this is. And this is also something that has been played by the Democrats before. Barack Obama, President Obama has done it, and now Joe Biden has done it. So anyway, we'll talk about more of the 14th Amendment and how Biden thinks he can use that to raise the debt ceiling himself. He's wrong. All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. The number to call into the program is 844-900-7243. Again, that number, 844-900-7243. Guys, I want to talk to you about Angel Tree. I want to thank everyone who has already joined the Officer Tatum's campaign to help send children of prisoners, kids with a mom or dad in prison for a life-changing week at Angel Tree Camp. They went to theofficertatum.com and they made a generous gift of $200, which sends one child to camp for an entire week. But right now, I want to speak to you. Maybe you've heard Officer Tatum's appeals, but you can't spare $200 right now. Well, that's okay. And today is the day I want to invite you to join us with a gift in any amount you can give, whether it's $5, $22, $50, or whatever you can give right now. We'll be combined with other listeners' gifts, and each time we hit $200, another child's life will be changed. As Don from Angel Tree tells us, every single dollar has the power to literally transform a child.
Personalize that. The little bit that you give, if we all give something, we are better together. If every single one right now, even if you are impacted in some stretch, the more that you give, the more you receive. I always say you can't outgive God. So you give without knowing where it's going to go. Just pay it forward and see the results. See the blessings that God will bring back into your life.
Let's transform the lives of as many boys and girls as we can by sending them to Angel Tree Camp this summer. Your gift of any amount helps send a deserving boy or girl away from hot inner cities and gangs and off to camp for an entire week. Just go to theofficertatum.com, click on the Angel Tree Camp banner, or you can phone your donation to 888-206-2763. Again, that number, 888-206-2763. It's a safe place for children of prisoners to experience the great outdoors, make new friends, and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Once more, just go to theofficertatum.com and click on the Angel Tree Camp banner to help change a child's life for eternity. Okay, I want to go back to my guest, Zach Smith. I'm speaking with Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation. And guys, the reason why I'm so concerned about this particular debt ceiling fight is because of what the left is trying to do. They are attempting to take away your power, which, circumvent the Congress, right? And allow Biden to unilaterally raise the debt limit himself or raise the debt ceiling himself. This is absolutely insane. This is tyranny. This drives me nuts. And again, I'm joined with Zach Smith, but Zach writes about this, and I'll let you. I just want to really drill down on this point here, Zach, of how ludicrous this is. That they're literally. If I could just read, I'll just read part of your column. The key phrase for those arguments is that the quote validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law shall not be questioned, close quote. Speaking of the 14th Amendment, that's a piece of the 14th Amendment. As should be obvious from the rest of the section, Zach writes, though a post-Civil War Congress primarily included this provision in the Constitution to head off any attempts by a future Congress likely to be dominated by Southern members, let's say Confederate soldiers, to repudiate the Civil War debts of the North and pay those of the South. This is insane. Zach, this is do you think that this stands any legal muster at all?
Well, I think it's a very frivolous argument, but unfortunately that has stopped the Biden administration in the past. We saw them give the FDA broad powers, you know, related to housing, which is absurd. We've seen them try to implement student loan forgiveness unilaterally, even in the face of, you know, clear statutory language that seems to prohibit that kind of unilateral authority. So this is certainly something that they could try to push through. But I think anyone who is serious and reasonable, who has looked at this language, says that this is not a legal, viable alternative path for the president to take action.
You say here, if the president can unilaterally continue incurring debt on behalf of the U.S. in contravention of Congress, why would he have to only spend money that Congress has appropriated for authorized purposes? He could essentially eliminate Congress from the budgetary process and spend however much money he wanted for whatever purpose he wanted. At that point, we'd have a dictatorship, would we not, Zach?
Well, it'd be a complete repudiation of the separation of powers. You know, as I mentioned earlier, Carl, the framers of our Constitution, our founding fathers, they wanted Congress, the branch of government that's closest to the people, to be primarily responsible for taxing and spending issues. In fact, taxation-related bills have to originate in the House of Representatives, the House within Congress that is closest to the people. It's elected every 2 years. The entire body turns over. And so the framers of our Constitution wanted a clear separation of powers. They clearly wanted the people's elected representatives in Congress to be responsible for these very important taxation and spending issues. And so if Joe Biden were to unilaterally ignore Congress's clear statement of what the debt limit is supposed to be, there's really no reason he would have to abide by any other provisions that Congress has put in place. You know, we talked earlier about Congress authorizes money for certain specific expenditures. They then appropriate money for those expenditures. But there's no reason, if this legal theory were to hold, that he would have to abide by that. It would essentially, as you said, give the president unchecked power to essentially do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. That is not the system of government we have. It's certainly not the system of government that the framers of our Constitution envisioned. And I think you're right that it would set a very dangerous precedent if Joe Biden were to go down this path.
And ultimately, and I'm not arguing, even though I'm tempted at times, I'm not arguing for Republicans to just say, you know, screw you. But they've put out their plan. The Democrats haven't responded. I guess they didn't think that the Republican Party would stick together on this particular issue. But just so people are aware, the essential jobs, quote unquote, in government would still be paid, as well as the entitlements would still be paid. I don't want us to default, obviously. I don't want to lower a credit rating, but that is the case, correct?
Well, look, I think everyone recognizes default would be a bad situation in an ideal world. No one wants a government default. But I think everyone, particularly the Republicans in the House, have recognized what a perilous position we're in as a country in terms of this astronomical debt we have. It's saddling future generations with unsustainable debt that will hamper economic growth. It's a national security issue because much of our debt is currently held by foreign entities, particularly Chinese foreign entities. And so this is a very real problem going forward. Now, I think it's important to realize, Carl, we've already hit the debt limit. The U.S. government can't borrow any more money above that limit. And so these extraordinary measures that I mentioned earlier, that's what officials have already essentially agreed on, how to prioritize payments once we run out of money. Now, the Treasury still has money coming into its coffers that it can use to pay certain bills and expenditures. It's not enough to pay for everything. But I think it's important to note we are in unprecedented territory, Carl. The U.S. has never before defaulted on its debt. And so what happens if that default actually occurs? No one really knows the answer to that question.
Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation. Listen, I appreciate you joining us on the Officer Tatum Show. I appreciate your work, man. Keep it up. God bless you.
Thanks so much. You too.
Back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the officer Tatum. The number to call in again, you heard the man, 844-900-7243. In this particular hour, we've talked about the debt ceiling debacle, Biden's debt ceiling crisis. And now I want to talk about cash is king and also central bank digital currencies. I believe this is an existential threat. I'm joined by my friend R.C. Williams of SherlockExposes.com. I'm sure you guys have seen him on my podcast plenty of times. He's been my go-to guy when it comes to all things cryptocurrency and stuff like that. R.C., welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Carl, it's great to be on, man. We have to stop meeting like this.
Yeah, this is it's crazy, crazy times, but RC is really smart when it comes to this stuff. I jokingly tease him and say, you know, he's the nerd when it comes to this stuff that makes me look really good and smart. I just kind of tee him up and then I just take as much credit as possible.
It's
a really good gig if you can get it. It's a really good gig. I absolutely love it. But SherlockExposes.com, SHERLOC. Without the K, exposes.com. RC, okay, I want to talk about cash. We talked about this the other day on my podcast. Check out the podcast, thecarljacksonshow.com, or wherever you go to get your podcast. Share this podcast, guys, because I'm really concerned. I'm gonna talk about the debt ceiling a little bit, too,
sure,
as well here, RC. I'm really concerned about what Biden is attempting to do with the debt limit. We've hit our debt limit.
Right.
He's trying to unilaterally, as you heard me talking to Zach Smith about, trying to raise it himself. When I consider what the Democrat Party is trying to do, circumvent Congress, circumvent you and I, when I consider central bank digital currencies, it's another thing, by the way, Governor DeSantis has and the Republican legislature has decided to do away with. So all of you in red states, you should make sure your governor and your state legislators copy that. But when I think of all of this stuff combined, inflation, I'm getting scared. I'll just be frank with you, RC. I'm getting a little nervous because you destroy the money, you destroy cash. We've got a, in my opinion, a dictatorship.
We're close to it, Carl. You know, we talked about this Wednesday, too. It's like the Matrix, where there's an Agent Smith at every exit. So your economic freedom is one of the last hurdles that the powers that be need to get you into complete serfdom. So what better way to do that than to take away choice? So when people think about a central bank digital currency, they're thinking the boogeyman, which is accurate. But how they're going to do it and how they're going about it is incredibly nefarious. So the precursor is already happening around you. And most people don't realize it, Carl. There's a program called FedNow. And banks are being certified for this as we speak. This program is going to roll out July 1st. So as it stands today, if I had to write Carl a check for business for $25,000, Carl's not going to see that money for 14 days. The banks will hold your money for as long as possible. That's just what they do. And that's a whole other conversation.
Right.
What the FedNow program proposes is that all transactions would be instant. So instead of waiting 3 days for an ACH or 10 days for a check to clear, it would just instantly clear, snap of a finger. That's the precursor, because now the government is in a position where they're the savior. And there are so many people that still aren't awake to the dangers of their money and their decisions being controlled that they're going to say, well, the Fed got me my money right away. What could be wrong with this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we're headed.
Yeah, guys, listen, I want to we'll go back and forth with some of these issues, but debt ceiling, cash, central bank digital currencies. But I wrote some notes and I touched on them the other day with RC. But guys, I know it sounds old school. I know it sounds crazy, but cash is king. Cash will always be king. This is extremely important. Here's what I jotted down. Cash equals privacy, right? Cash is an easy way for individuals to settle debts. They can sell goods without any government intrusion. You don't have to worry about filling out a 1099. RC is, listen, he's very, very good and smart when it comes to crypto, but Bitcoin is difficult to track, but undisclosed Bitcoin accounts are already illegal, RC. Cash prevents the federal government from getting involved in petty transactions, again. And cash equals no ESG scores. Guys, this is so essential to freedom. It is unbelievable. You combine these banks that are collapsing, JP Morgan Chase, the last one eating up First Republic Bank.
Oh, boy.
We only got about 30 seconds, but we'll continue after. But your response, your response real quick.
Yeah, I mean, that when you see, when you talk about cash being king, alternatives to government systems are really going to become king. People need to be thinking about what they'll do if they can't access something. How will they transact with each other? Parallel economies, which we can talk about in a bit, are mission critical. And people need to be thinking about that now, because this isn't going to go away.
All right.
Everybody's got their cups, but they ain't chipped in. The Officer Tatum Show.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum. I don't know why that gets me every time. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. The number to call in, 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243 is the number. Guys, I want to talk to you about Pure Talk. Remember the last time you got a quote-unquote free phone? You started out feeling great, then came the hefty activation fees, four-line requirements, and, of course, the binding contract. Well, don't fall for it again. Only Pure Talk gives you a free 5G Samsung Galaxy phone without the feeling you've been duped. Just sign up for Pure Talk's unlimited talk, unlimited text, and unlimited data plan with mobile hotspot for just $55 a month, and get a 5G Samsung Galaxy for free. That's right, unlimited everything at a fraction of the price of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. And here's another thing, you'll be on America's most dependable 5G network. How do I know? Well, Officer Tatum is a customer, and he told me so. Make the switch to Pure Talk, the wireless company that he's proud to stand behind because they're proud to stand behind him. Just dial #250 and say Brandon Tatum. You'll get a free Samsung Galaxy when you sign up for unlimited talk, text, and unlimited data. Again, dial #250, say Brandon Tatum, and switch to Pure Talk today. Pure Talk Wireless, for Americans, by Americans. Portions of the Officer Tatum Show are brought to you in part by Pure Talk. Okay, getting back to my conversation with R.C. Williams of SherlockExposes.com. Again, you spell Sherlock without the K. We've been talking about the debt ceiling. You were mentioning some stuff during the break that was interesting, R.C. Do you remember?
Yeah, we were talking about what people don't realize yet. So a lot of people hear debt ceiling, just normal, average, everyday Americans, and they're like, well, it sounds like the government's out of money. What hasn't happened yet is people don't realize that there's this potential reality that their Social Security payment or other government payment may actually be late. And what we were saying is that people, when that happens, things are going to get crazy. So now it looks like Congress has basically gone on break without a deal. Now, the debt ceiling's up June 1st. So what happens when Americans' payments start to be delayed in an economy that has already been designed as such to almost implode on itself? You know, Carl, when we were on talking about the banking crisis, the first thing that I said, and I still stand by this, is that I don't think people quite appreciate how close we are to a complete economic implosion. Like, we're teetering on the edge, and everybody thinks, look, the dollar is the world's reserve currency. Come on, what are people going to do? If you don't believe that people are hedging against it, the BRICS Nations group got 19 applications. The world knows, and that's why they're storing huge reserves of gold in central banks around the world. They know what's coming.
And let's put this into perspective, RC. If the United States, if the U.S. dollar is no longer the world's reserve currency, our money, what would you say, percentage-wise, overnight collapses?
People's investments, you'd instantly lose probably about 50% of the value of any investment that you had, if not worse. And we had talked about this Wednesday, too, Carl. You said, well, what would it look like physically? And I said, well, look at San Francisco or New York or L.A. today. That would be the entire United States pretty much within a week of something like that happening. So, you know, is it the end of the world? No, but we're truly going to see, should that happen, what a third world country looks like up close and personal. And I got to tell you, having been to third world countries, I mean, you grew up in L.A., I grew up in San Francisco. We know what downtown looks like when it's bad.
Yeah.
Imagine that across the country.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine Imagine every city looking like a Democrat-run city.
Oh, boy.
It would be insane. Poop maps everywhere.
Oh, my goodness.
It would be absolutely insane. Okay, so here's part of my concern, too. Let's go to central bank digital currencies.
Sure.
This is – okay, so my opinion is I think – Democrats, leftists want the economy to collapse. I think they want more people. They thrive when people are poor, when people are unsuccessful. This is where the left thrives. People are going to cry for help. Central bank digital currencies, we've got you covered.
Yeah. I mean, Carl, look, when you're a grifter, government's always the answer. These guys, a lot of them in office, are masters of the grifterverse, as we like to say. So the ability to centrally control, in essence, what happens, and I know people have heard a lot about this, so we'll do the simple breakdown that we usually do on this. A central bank digital currency, in essence, would mean that the government becomes the bank. And that's the thing you don't want. The government
right.
can't even get a pothole right in a lot of instances or get a freeway built in time. The last thing you want them to do is be all up in your banking business. They do a bad enough job with the IRS. But we were talking about FedNow before the break. So this lays the groundwork for the government to next say, well, look, the banking system is unstable. They've already started to collapse. We can't trust that. The government needs to step in. Or they're going to say, well, look, the economy itself is unstable. So we've got to step in. This is the solution. We've already showed you we can do it with FedNow. When that light switch flips, Carl, all the exits are closed. There's an Agent Smith then
right.
at every exit. But here's what's even more nefarious. We've talked a lot about the banking system itself. As we know it today on paper, banks have almost $700 billion in unrealized losses. And all that means is that they haven't told you yet. And they're betting against things they're losing. So all of that said, a central bank digital currency, the way that it hurts you the most is that your spending habits and your behavior are now controlled. I told Carl this the other day. I said, look, Carl thinks about crossing the street on a red light but doesn't do it. By the time he gets across the street, he gets a ding that his social credit score is dropped because he thought about crossing on a red light. Step one, thought crime. Then Carl's feeling pretty bad. He goes to have a beer and it's like, no, Carl's been a bad boy. No beer for you. You can't buy it, Carl.
Yep.
On the way out of the bar, Carl gets a call that his dad is sick. Now, Carl lives in Guangzhou. His dad is in Shanghai, but now Carl can't travel more than a mile because he's been a bad boy, he wanted a beer, and he thought about crossing on a red light. That is the future of a central bank digital currency. And they will tell you, Carl, they will tell you this. Carl, you're going to spend money, okay? And if you say, no, I'm a saver, they say we're going to penalize you 10%
right.
every day
yeah.
until you spend what we want you to spend or until you stop. Folks, if they get you there and they are so close, it's game over. Everything that you ever dreamed that you wanted to happen for you, your kids, your grandkids, or beyond is over.
And guys, this isn't so far off. I want you to – I did a podcast the other day that freaked me out with Frank Gaffney mm-hmm. on the dangers of – I mean, we are so close, excuse me, to China. China is such a threat to the United States, we don't even realize it. Not only are they sending fentanyl, but he believes they're sending troops into the United States of
yep.
America. Imagine the United States like China with the control that they have. We'll talk about more central bank digital currencies when we get back with R.C. Williams. All right, the real Anthony Fauci movie. Have you ever questioned the COVID-19 narrative? Is there more to the story? Well, the movie, The Real Anthony Fauci, will leave you stunned. This was an eye-opening movie that I loved and highly recommend to all of Brandon's listeners. The Real Anthony Fauci movie proves he purposely suppressed information on other drugs and silenced anyone on anything that created vaccine hesitancy. It was a huge and dangerous medical experiment they forced on the entire world. Are you ready to explore the truth? Go to TheRealAnthonyFauciMovie.com to watch the movie for free while it's still available. Officer Tatum watched it, and he urges you to watch it for free. That's TheRealAnthonyFauciMovie.com. Portions of the Officer Tatum show are brought to you in part by TheRealAnthonyFauciMovie.com. I've got to see that myself. And by the way, my wife reminded me, she's a Pure Talk customer herself. Guys, I want you to hear this audio clip before I continue with my conversation with R.C. Williams of Sherlock Exposes Without the K, .com. This is AOC. She's talking about the last time a person has said in this country that the government does too much for them. Listen to this. Audio clip number 3, por favor, Sean.
But they are accusing Democrats of saying we spend too much. For anyone that wants to entertain that thought, I ask you to think about the last time a person has said in this country that the government does too much for them, that their Social Security check was too high, that teachers are paid too much. When was the last time anyone has heard or seen that?
Oh, my God. All right, I want to flip out on this chick. The government, the only money that the government has, this is basic economics, is the money that they take from you. Mm. This is a chick that wants you to be impoverished for God knows how long so that she can maintain her power. You heard Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation break down the numbers where we owe approximately, based upon how much money these idiots in Washington, D.C. are spending, $94,000 each, all right? This is insane. Listen to what she's saying. Going back to my guest here, R.C. Williams of Sherlock Exposes, let's just blow through these real quick.
Sure.
You mentioned you had a great analogy with the control that CBDCs do. CBDCs, let's just hit them one at a time. Enable ESG scores that punish Americans.
Yes, they do. So once you get behavior down and everything's a thought crime, it gets really hard to spend money to live.
Negative interest rates, CBDCs.
If you've heard of a bailout, let's talk about a bail-in. It's happening in Lebanon right now. So that's when the bank decides you owe them 10% of everything that's in the bank and you have no choice.
Unbelievable. Government could program CBDCs to have an expiration date.
Yep. If they want you to spend, you do it or you pay the penalty. If they want you to save and you don't, you pay the penalty.
All right, guys. Check out the podcast with R.C. Williams of Sherlock Exposes. I forget what we called it. Anyway, I'll retweet it.
Awesome.
It'll be out there. SherlockExposes.com. Thanks, RC.
Thanks, Carl.
The Officer Tatum Show.
All right. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. The number to call in, 844-900-7243. Guys, we're going to be getting into cultural issues. Also, if you like to call in and tell me who your candidate is, whether it's Trump, whether it's DeSantis, who you would like to see as a vice presidential pick, feel free to do that. Or maybe you're a Nikki Haley fan. Maybe you're a Tim Scott fan. Maybe you think I'm totally wrong when it comes to Tim Scott and Nikki Haley. Again, I don't dislike them, but Nikki Haley, I would frankly never vote for her in the primary. If she were to become the nominee, I would vote for her. But frankly, I feel the same about Tim Scott. And again, I think he's a great guy. I think he's a great Christian guy. There's no doubt about it. But in my opinion, his senatorial record is lackluster, and I really did not like the police reform during the Black Lives Matter riots. That scares me. I don't want the federal government involved in policing. So as soon as I hear that, I'm like, it doesn't sound like a guy that'll get rid of the FBI to me. So I take pause with that. But I do want to introduce a guest that I have here. Her name is Amania Sallust. All right. And she's a political consultant. She happens to be conservative and Christian. Amania, I want to do this before we tackle into some of the conservative or before some of the issues. I want to play an audio clip for you and I want to get your response to it. You may have heard the news that the NAACP issued a travel advisory to the state of Florida saying that black people should not come to the state of Florida because Governor Ron DeSantis is hostile to black people. So I want you to hear this audio clip. I want you to take it in, and then I want to hear your take on it.
Okay.
All right.
Claiming that Florida is unsafe is a total farce. I mean, are you kidding me? You look at cities around this country, they are awash in crime. In Florida, our crime rate is at a 50-year low. You look at the top 25 cities for crime in America, Florida does not have a single one amongst the top 25. And if you look at cities like Baltimore and Chicago, you got kids more likely to get shot than to receive a first-class education. Yet I don't see the NAACP batting an eye about all the outrage and the carnage that's happening in those areas. So this is a political stunt. These left-wing groups have been doing it for many, many years. And at the end of the day, what they're doing is colluding with legacy media to try to manufacture a narrative. Now, the good news is fewer and fewer Americans are gullible enough to believe this dribble. And platforms like Twitter are there where people can debunk these lies in real time. And I would just say, as an American citizen, if you are uncritically accepting narratives spun by legacy media and left-wing groups, you're failing at your job of being a conscientious citizen.
Okay, so let me get your opinion on that, Amanya. I'm speaking to Amanya Sallust. She's a political consultant, and I'm going to be talking to you about a campaign that's happening locally. It happens to be with another black female conservative. Amanya, are you scared to live in the state of Florida under Governor Ron DeSantis?
No, Carl, no. I'm not afraid to live in Florida. I don't even know where that comes from. It doesn't make any sense to me. Who's afraid to live in Florida?
I know. You know, what's funny is, so I originally came from Los Angeles. I was born and raised in Los Angeles. I moved to Florida a long time ago now. But what's crazy to me is California always felt more segregated. I don't think as much now when I go back, but always felt more segregated to me than Florida. I came to Florida, and I was shocked at how many different races lived by, or ethnicities lived by each other. Blacks, whites, Puerto Ricans. I'm like, if there's a definition of true diversity, if you will, Florida is it.
I agree.
It's insane.
I agree. I mean, we have so many different people in this area, and especially in the area that I am in Orlando, you find all kinds of different people. And, you know, people are thriving here, and blacks are thriving here. There's opportunity here. And so I just don't understand or see how these people can say that, you know, blacks don't have a chance here in Florida under Governor DeSantis.
All right. So now, Amanya, you're a Christian and you happen to be a conservative. What's
yes.
wrong with you?
Oh, I must be insane because they say we don't exist. They say, you know, black women or us blacks, we shouldn't be conservative or we don't exist. But I exist and I have, you know, a candidate who exists. She's black and we're both conservative and we're right here in Florida and there's nobody coming for us here. We live a happy life here in Florida. And so, yeah. Black conservative women, yes.
I do want to talk to you. Now, again, I'm speaking to Amanya Sallust, and she happens to be a Christian and conservative, and obviously we're both black here, so she's not afraid to live in the state of Florida. But she's a political consultant. She's helping out a woman by the name of Belinda Ford that's running for a local District 40 here in Orlando. But here's the thing about Belinda Ford. Belinda Ford, black female conservative, but she also She also runs a crisis pregnancy center for minority women.
Yes. So Belinda has two pregnancy centers. One of them is in Winter Garden, and another one is in Pine Hills in the middle of the district that she's running for. And she's been there. She's been helping black women. She's been saving babies' lives for a really long time. She's saved so many babies' lives, and she is a force in the community for life. So, yes, black conservative woman fighting for black babies and black lives.
Let me ask you this, just as a Christian, have you followed at all the issue with Target and the clothing that they're putting out for? Okay, so basically Target, as of late, and they've lost $9 billion up to this point, but Target has been targeting, if you will, young children into this basic sexual perversion, this nonsense. They have bathing suits where men can basically tuck their junk, excuse my language, and pretend like they're women, but they're also selling this type of stuff to kids. What's your take on that?
It's insanity. It's demonic for these people to think that they can do this to children. We need to do what's happening with Budweiser needs to happen with Target. We need to stand up and boycott Target because what they're doing is wrong. And we as conservative people should start standing up and say, no, you know what? I don't want a Target. I'm not going to Target anymore. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to spend my money elsewhere because these people are trying to take out our children through this nonsense.
Yeah, and it's starting to happen, thank God. I from what I read, I'll check through the headlines during the break, but from what I read as well, Target is literally down about $9 million in market cap. So people are starting to give Target the Bud Light treatment, and I think we should continue to do so. Do you think Christians should be involved in this type of stuff, boycotting, or a place we shouldn't enter?
No. Christians need to be at the forefront because this is who we are. We are supposed to stand up for the kingdom. We're supposed to stand up for what's right. And if Christians don't stand up for children, who's going to do it? Yes, Christians should be involved. They should be out there doing this because that's the right thing to do.
Man, good stuff. You told me you do a blog, or did I hear you correctly?
I have a podcast. Okay. I have a channel on YouTube. It's called The Conservative Poet. Okay. And there I talk about political things, cultural things, and everything that we're talking about right now. So The Conservative Poet, it started out as a spoken word channel, but because the cultural stuff is so important, I kind of moved away from just spoken word, and now I cover cultural conversations.
Do you think that when you consider some of the cultural battles that we're fighting, the whole issue with trans, the DEI, the CRT in schools, do you think the left has been able to progress and be so aggressive because Christians have just sat back? Why do you think this is happening?
I think that Christians have sat back, you know, when things were happening, and they pretend that they didn't see it, they didn't know about it, and then they let, you know, certain things go through, and then again, you're going to give them a finger, and they're going to take your whole arm. So now we're facing these things where they're castrating children, where, you know... They're castrating children, and they tell you, oh, it's good for you. I mean, this is the definition of insanity.
It is, and it's scary, too, because you think about these kids, and literally, when they grow up, their minds are going to change.
And it'll be too late because they've done things to their body that can't be changed. They cut off their parts. They removed their uterus. They removed their breast. And
we'll be back. We'll be back.
Come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
Unapologetically Christian and 1000% real, The Officer Tatum Show.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Guys, I want to talk to you about the Angel Tree Campaign, Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree Campaign. I want to thank everyone who has already joined the Officer Tatum's campaign to help send children of prisoners, kids with a mom or dad in prison, for a life-changing week at Angel Tree Camp. They went to the OfficerTatum.com and made a generous gift of $200, which sends one child to camp for an entire week. But right now, I want to speak to you. Maybe you've heard Officer Tatum's appeals, but you can't spare $200 right now. That's okay. And today is the day I want to invite you to join us with a gift in any amount you can give, whether it's $5, $22, $50, whatever you can afford to give right now will be combined with other listeners' gifts. And each time we hit $200, another child's life will be changed. As Don from Angel Tree tells us, every single dollar has the power to literally transform a child.
Personalize that. The little bit that you give, if we all give something, we are better together. If every single one right now, even if you are impacted in some stretch, the more that you give, the more you receive. I always say you can't outgive God. So you give without knowing where it's going to go. Just pay it forward and see the results. See the blessings that God will bring back into your life.
Let's transform the lives of as many boys and girls as we can by sending them to Angel Tree Camp this summer. Your gift of any amount helps send a deserving boy or girl away from hot inner cities and gangs and off to camp for an entire week. Just go to theofficertatum.com and click on the Angel Tree Camp banner, or you can phone your donation to 888-206-2763. That's 888 206-2763. It's a safe place for children or prisoners to experience the great outdoors, make new friends, and hear the gospel. Once more, just go to theofficertatum.com and click on the Angel Tree Camp banner to help change a child's life for eternity. Again, just real quick, I'm with my guest, Amanya Sallust, and she's a political consultant. She didn't even share this with me, guys. She just busted out during a break. You worked on or worked with Black Voices for Trump.
Yes, for the 2020 cycle. It was an amazing experience. Nico Carroll, he ran the office that was located in Pine Hills, actually. And it was a great space. I really wish that they had kept it open and continued the work of bringing the community together and just being a force to, you know, after the election to really bring people in.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but they closed it down like 2 days after the election was done. So that was a shame. But yes, Black Voices for Trump, and we did a lot there.
So. All right. So now for those of you, because Amanya has mentioned Pine Hills a couple of times. Well, out here, Pine Hills is some people call it Crime Hills. All right. So it's predominantly Black and minority. Lots of Puerto Ricans as well. But a lot of Blacks, and it's kind of the, would you call it an inner city? Somewhat?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. So somewhat of an inner city. I remember when I first moved out to Florida, I lived in Pine Hills for several years, but I had come from Long Beach and Compton. So I was like, this ain't that bad, but it has gotten worse.
Oh man. It has gotten worse. Just on Easter Sunday, they had two shootings in that area. Easter Sunday, seven people were shot, including children in Pine Hills. And nobody's out there protesting about that. So that really gets to me.
They don't care when the Black people are shot by other
Blacks. No, it's only when it's the police or somebody else. And I'm just like looking for Benjamin Crump and Al Sharpton and all of them to come and have a say here when you have seven people on Easter Sunday, including children, shot and killed, and nobody's out here doing anything.
No money to be made.
Yes, no money to be made.
It's so sad.
Right.
All right. So again, Amanya, tell people where they can go to find you if they want to hear what you have to say. And again, check out, man.
You can find me at The Conservative Poet. That's my YouTube channel. And on Twitter, Amanya Sallust. And I'm on Instagram as well. But The Conservative Poet is where I am. And that's my channel.
Okay. So now, DeSantis or Trump for you?
Trump all day. All day, Donald J. Trump.
She didn't even hesitate. You guys saw that. She said, yeah. What did you tell me during the break? You said, this is
Trump country. We love Governor DeSantis. He's done some great things for Florida, but this is Trump country. Florida is Trump country, and I'm Trump all day.
Would you vote for Governor DeSantis were he to win the nomination?
If he were to win, then, of course, I'd put these things to the side. And yes, if he were to win the primary, yes, of course, I'd get on board. But for right now,
I love that.
I'm not doing nothing. I'm not putting a sign in. I'm not ringing a doorbell. I'm all the way Trump.
All right. I love that. I love that. Look, listen. Well, tell you what, how much time do we have before the break? All right. So we still have a few minutes before the break. I want to get your take on, you know what, let me get your take on this.
Okay.
The Los Angeles Dodgers deserve the Bud Light treatment. Have you heard about this? The Dodgers are inviting the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to participate. It's a radical LGBT organization. Thank you, Forgotten Man, whose drag members mock Catholicism by dressing up as so-called queer and trans nuns. And now the Dodgers, my former team, are inviting them to participate in an event on June 16th. What do you think about, I mean, sports and all of these corporations just bowing down to this craziness, this demonic, satanic, sick, perverted people?
You know, it's really, really disgusting. I remember I saw somebody had a video out back in the day. Bud Light used to make commercials, they used to use men dressing up as women, but it was for it was the opposite.
It was a mock.
It was a mock, yeah. You know, and those videos have kind of resurfaced. I think it was my boy Benny, the Benny Show, he had that on. And I was just like, wow, they used to do that. And now look at that. They've totally turned it around because now they're accepting it. Before it was like mocking, but now it's acceptable. It just shows you, you know, everything is upside down. We are in Looney Tunesville. It's insanity.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely crazy where we've come. I'm so glad that there are Christians like yourself that are standing up. I know people a lot of, well, we're black Christians and we're conservatives. Listen, I think we're called to be Christian first. And obviously, wherever God puts us to do work, God has put you in Pine Hills in the community.
Yes.
To do work there. As well as Belinda Ford, who's
yes.
running for District 40. So I'll make sure that I tweet out some stuff if you guys want to help her out. But we've got liberals in these areas, black liberals that aren't doing a doggone thing to really help the community, in my opinion. And so hopefully Belinda Ford could take it home.
Yeah, we're going to do this thing. Because Pine Hills and the District 40 area has been let down by their leaders. We have not had a Republican woman in years. I mean, she's the first in this right. area. So we're going to make history in Pine Hills and District 40.
All right. Amanya Salas, appreciate you joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. That was fun. All right. We'll be back. Carl Jackson in for the Officer Tatum. All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. All right, we're at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention here. And now I'm sitting here. I'm looking through this because I got to see, Nicholas, what ads I'm supposed to read. I'm supposed to be reading Salem News Channel. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just all over the place here right now. Let me read this real quick. If you like listening to the Officer Tatum Show, you will love watching it as well. You can watch it on SalemNewsChannel.com or the app with the same name. Load it on the Apple or Android store, or you can watch us on Roku. Just type Salem News Channel into the search bar. Come check us out. We are the antidote to the mainstream media. All the best in conservative media are on the Salem News Channel with Dennis Prager, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dinesh D'Souza, Will Cowell, Larry O'Connor, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and your main man, Brandon Tatum. Bookmark us now. Just go to SalemNewsChannel.com and watch today's show or get caught up on past shows on video. Okay, now, I'm sitting here with my man, Nicholas Howard. Now, Nicholas walked up to me at the beginning of the show or walked behind me. And then he said, well, I thought it was Officer Tatum. If you guys don't know the story, I'm a little bummed out. I live in Orlando. I've never met the Officer Tatum. I know this is sad. I fill in for him all the time. I've never met the Officer Tatum. And I thought I was going to get down to meet him, but we were having so many technical difficulties with my podcast. Things just went haywire, and my schedule got crazy. Just didn't make it. But obviously I'm here to buy that much. But then I'm sitting here getting ready, and all of a sudden I see this guy out of my periphery. He's a pretty big guy, and I'm thinking, that's got to be the Officer Tatum. I turn around, and it's Nicholas. I feel bad, Nicholas.
No, I got that the whole weekend. Everybody kept coming up to me. Are you Brandon Tatum? I'm like, no, I'm not him.
Anyway, so Nicholas has been here helping us out. Nicholas, you travel from Texas.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. From Fort Worth, Texas.
From Fort Worth, Texas. You work for Salem.
Yes, sir.
All right. And you were on a conference deal with me probably a month or so ago, because we're going to be launching a TV show soon here for the Salem News Channel. Really good guy. Really, really nice guy. Obviously knows what he's doing. You traveled to Florida from Texas. Did you hear what the NAACP said about Texas? Did you hear that the NAACP said that black people should not travel to Florida because Governor DeSantis is hostile to Texas? So I just wanted to know, yeah. Were you accosted at the airport by anyone? Or
no, sir.
Okay.
All right. I'm pretty sure people are scared of me because of my size. So they know the backup.
He is a big guy. He is a big guy. All right. So now, what made you begin working for Salem? What was it about Salem? What drew you in?
Honestly, I just started working out, doing sports, doing sports producing, and then Salem was the next opportunity for me. As a Christian young man, you know, I wanted to be able to be at a place, an environment where I'm able to, you know, still grow in my craft of doing video and being an on-air talent one day, and also being able to express what Jesus is constantly doing in my heart with other fellow co-workers at Salem. So
you said you want to be an on-air talent one day. What does that mean?
Hopefully one day I want to be able to do sports, but also it's still you know, Jesus still doing the work on my heart to where I definitely still want to do faith talk and
others. That is good stuff. Good stuff. So okay, now how you mind me asking your age?
Yeah.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 25.
All right, you're 25.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. All these young bucks, man. All these young, but it's all right. It's good to see. All right, so sports. Did you play sports?
Yes, sir. I grew up playing football and basketball. Played a little bit of college basketball.
A little bit.
Yes, sir.
Where'd you play?
I played at Oklahoma Wesleyan University.
What?
Yes, sir.
Man, I would take him out to the basketball court if my knees weren't bad. Just try him out. But I used to ball up a little bit. It was street ball, though.
I'm a mix of like Luka Doncic and Zion Williamson.
Oh! All right, good stuff. Yeah. And you could sing, too.
Yeah. Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, they go,
Oh man, all right, I'm gonna kick him off. No more. We're gonna go to break. Good stuff, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll be back more with Nicholas Howard. Yes, more with Nicholas Howard. We'll have some fun wrapping up. Feel free to call in 844-900-7243. Who's your candidate? Who do you want to be VP? Carl Jackson in for the Officer Tatum. Good stuff, man.
I know my love was not for you. So I'll take it back with a sigh. Perfidious one, goodbye.
Moça do corpo dourado do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que um poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Ah, por que estou tão sozinho?
Seek and ye shall find. God's Got Your Six, the Officer Tatum Show.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum, broadcasting live from the National Religious Broadcasting Conference. Guys, you can find me on social media, all things social media, at The Carl Jackson Show. Please check out my podcast, The Carl Jackson Show, or wherever you go to get your podcasts. I would sincerely appreciate that. Again, I'm joined here with Nicholas Howard. A young man, he just sang some Frank Sinatra. They played it back. He loves sports. He loves talking about sports. He has conservative views, but not necessarily a Republican. We're working on that. Yeah. We're working on that. He does have conservative views, Christian. We just got to get him. We need you out there voting.
Yes,
we need you out there voting. All right. So talk to me about this. You grew up. You were born in Pittsburgh.
No, I was born in Fort Worth.
You were born in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
How did you become a Steelers fan?
My mom, I know her side of the family is from Pittsburgh.
All right. Yeah. So tell me all of your teams.
Yeah. I'm a Steelers fan, Mavericks fan, and then for baseball, I like the Rangers.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So Rangers, Steelers, and a Mavericks fan.
Yeah.
All right. That's interesting. You skipped over. We were talking about this a little bit. You skipped over the Cowboys.
That's not America's team. That's not America's team. I don't care what anybody says. That's not America's team.
So the Steelers are America's team.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got more Super Bowls than them.
That's all that matters. Listen, I'm a LA Rams fan. I'm praying to God they don't have a trans parade or something going on there. But I know we're not doing too good right now. It's okay. So anyway, I know they're not doing too great right now, but anyway, all right. So sports, you'd like to do some type of sports broadcasting. The sky's the limit.
Yeah.
You're obviously a smart young man.
Yeah.
You're in with a great company. Why sports? You just love sports. You have a fascination with it.
Yeah, just love sports. One day I want to be able to like implement Jesus with sports, you know, being able to have a show where I can just talk with big time athletes that I know that are strong in their faith with Jesus, and being able to talk about them with how they do leadership type things and just moving forward in their life and on and off the court.
It's like a Tony Dungy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Tony. I never met Tony Dungy. I would love to meet Tony Dungy,
mm-hmm.
but I just love what he does. Let me ask you this. What do you think about Los Angeles Dodgers? That's what I've talked about. We've talked about some of the cultural issues. I'm curious to see where you stand on some of these issues. Yeah. The anti-Christian, this is a headline, Los Angeles Dodgers deserve the Bud Light treatment. Have you heard what's going on with the Dodgers inviting this? Basically, it's a group of men parading as women that mock the Christian faith and Catholicism. Have you heard about that? If not, if so, what do you feel? If not, what do you feel about that?
I haven't heard, but I think it's wicked and perverse. You know, are they dressing up as women?
Yeah, they're dressing up as women, and they're mocking Christians. They're mocking Catholics. Yeah. That is their intent.
Yeah, I mean, it's like why are you trying to push your agenda on us? Like, keep it separated from our life. You know, we're not going out here pushing heterosexual on you. You know, you chose that. Just keep it private and keep it away from the public life. You're affecting children's lives. You're affecting people that watch football. Baseball is supposed to be a sport that people just watch for entertainment, not being hypersexualized or perverse and being disturbed of seeing those type of images.
Now, you played sports.
Yeah.
You played sports in college a little bit. Again, I take them to school, but my knees are bad. but you played sports. Here's what frustrates me about sports, because I absolutely love sports, and I've tuned out of a lot of sports lately, because sports would typically bring people together of all backgrounds. Is that one of the things you like about sports?
Yeah. It's a place where everybody can just come together and just have that moment of peace, you know?
Yeah.
Just sit there and just watch the game. We don't have to sit there and just argue about what do you like to do outside of this. Like, just keep that separate for that moment. And, like, let me lead a peaceful life. You lead a peaceful life, like it says in 1 Thessalonians, you know? Lead a peaceful life and, you know, get your affairs in order quietly. And, like, there's no need for you to force that agenda on people, just as America as a whole.
I'm going to ask you a personal question. You know, parents.
Yeah.
Mom and dad.
Yeah, mom and dad.
They did good, man.
Yeah.
You're a good guy. You're a good guy.
Yes, sir.
They did good. You need to be voting, though.
Yeah.
All right. You need to be voting. You need to be voting for Republicans, all right? But anyway. But no, I love that. I miss that about sports. I hate that, you know, first off, you know, the greatest player ever in the NBA, Kobe Bryant.
Mm.
Why'd you look like that?
Mm. I mean, I got two players before him, but that's all right.
Oh, man. Who do you got? Who do you got?
I mean, he has the biggest shoe sneaker out there, you know, Michael Jordan.
Oh, man.
And then you got King James.
Oh, we about to cut this. About to cut this interview. No, I listen, I absolutely love Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kobe fashioned his game after him. I stopped watching the Lakers with LeBron James, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
He is an amazing player. He is, to me, he's the mix of Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan. I mean, he has all of those tools.
Yeah.
But I love what he's done for the game.
Yeah.
I hate what he's done for sports because he's become so political. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
I want to when I watch sports, I want to just focus on sports. I want to forget about everything else.
Yeah.
And I see that's what I felt like Jordan did. That's what I felt like Kobe did, the best player to ever play in the NBA.
Yeah.
But
It's that's what it is. You know, some of these guys is getting out of control. You know, like the whole John Morant.
Yeah.
Mikey Williams, all those guys, they out here holding guns. It's like Michael Jordan said it best. These guys are out here getting guaranteed deals before they even play one game, and it's getting out of control sometimes. So
that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. They're making a buttload of money. Yeah. All right. I appreciate you joining us, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Yes,
Nicholas
sir.
Howard. All right. Look forward to him one day. He's gonna have a broadcast. Sports and Jesus. I love it, man. All right. Good job, Nicholas. We'll be back. To the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. Please check out my podcast anywhere you go to get your podcast. The Carl Jackson Show is where you can find me. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Subscribe to my Rumble channel, please. The Carl Jackson Show on YouTube or Rumble. All things social media at The Carl Jackson Show. We're at Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Getter, True Social, you name it. We're broadcasting live from the NRB. I think what I want to do is just wrap up with this. This isn't about being a DeSantis supporter or a Trump supporter, vice versa. This is about making sure that you, the voter, are getting things done in your state, holding your state legislators and your governors accountable. Ron DeSantis, the reason why he rose to prominence, obviously, is the things that he did during COVID. But the guy has been a legislative machine. Literally, in the last session alone, the Republican Congress here has passed more conservative legislation than they have done in over 20 years in one session. It's been insane. So we need to hold our politicians accountable. That's what I'm about. I love Trump. I love DeSantis. Trump is my preferred candidate, but I love DeSantis too. I'm not mad at him. I like Vivek. I like Larry Elder. I like to see Larry Elder rise and get up on that stage. But regardless, we need to be holding our politicians accountable. Ron DeSantis has fought for protecting children from leftist indoctrination, from perversion, just going over these in broad terms. He banned taxpayer-funded DEI in higher education. Whatever state you live in, particularly if you live in a state that is a so-called red state, why isn't your governor or your state and your state legislators doing this? You should ban DEI, CRT, SEL. No kid growing up should hear, if they're white, that they're an oppressor automatically, or no kid should be taught that they're oppressed just because of the color of their skin. Those two kids could grow up and be homeboys or homegirls or whatever, and they won't even care about skin color. Frankly, I felt like we had reached that point in America until Barack Obama came in, cracking down on crime in an effort to counter leftist prosecutors, soft on crime policies. Florida Republicans passed HB 1627, which seeks to strengthen the state's bail laws. You guys should be doing that. And listen, these woke DAs, they're soft on crime when it comes to their people, to libs, to Democrats. They're not soft on crime when it comes to the people like Richard Barnett, if you will, that they're putting behind jail for kicking his shoes up. Constitutional carry we passed out here, defending life inside of the womb, the six-week heartbeat ban. I don't know why conservatives and Christians run away from this. It's time to us to run towards this and make our arguments. But listen, each state has a choice. Each state has a choice in that manner. Confronting the CCP, no more of the Chinese Communist Party buying property here in Florida. Until next time, guys, don't grow weary doing good. God bless you all.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.